Can you imagine knowing? I mean, just knowing what was going to happen before it happened. Knowing that it was Judas, one of your very dearest friends, that was going to betray you. Knowing it was going to happen when it did. Anticipating the very hour. Knowing what you were going to have to go through as a result of everything that transpired that night. And then knowing that it had to happen this way in order for all those that followed you to be saved. And then just watching the whole horrific reality transpire in real time. I'm telling you, the pain of that night and the day that followed must have been excruciating beyond anything we can imagine. But for Jesus, it wasn't the nails that hurt the most or that cut the deepest. It was the kiss. That kiss of betrayal. That kiss that knowingly set into motion the events leading up to his crucifixion and death. "One of you will betray me," he said at the table earlier that night. And one by one, all the disciples, they became sad. And they asked one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" Have you ever marveled at that? "Is it I, Lord?" Think about their humility. Think about their self-awareness. Think about the reality that they knew they were sinners. Why was Jesus saying this? Did I screw up? Did I do something that offended him? Did I somehow unknowingly betray him? I think sometimes in the midst of a night like tonight, maybe that's a question we need to ask too. Have I lived for this world and its pleasures and bought into them, Lord, rather than wanting more time with you and wanting you more in my life and wanting to hear more your words of life? Have I sold you out too? Lord, have I lived as if other things mattered most, as you mattered not at all? Is it I, Lord? As I've gone through this life, have I forgotten your priority? Have I forgotten who you are? Have I forgotten, Lord, all that you've done for me? I'll tell you, Jesus makes it clear the wound of betrayal is not inflicted to him by someone who is distant from him, from those that are not his companions or his friends or his close ones. No, this is a pain that comes from those that are nearest to you, from those he held in special love and care. "He who has dipped his hand in this dish with me will betray me." Not someone distant or unknown. Not someone that was an enemy, but someone that was near and dear and loved by him. Perhaps it's then that we realize that we too, just like Judas, have kissed him on the cheek. Maybe we hang our heads a little bit in shame at that. Maybe a lot of shame when we cry out, "Lord, I'm so sorry." And though scripture doesn't record it, I'm sure that's what Judas said to Jesus right before he betrayed him and kissed him and they let him off to be crucified. "I'm sorry, Lord." But just so you know, it wasn't the nails that broke Jesus' heart. It was the kiss. The Gospel of Luke says that when this confrontation took place, Peter was warming his hands over a charcoal fire. It had just been a few days before where he had cried out to Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny you, Lord." Truth is, he had said almost the same thing that very night. And it was true. I mean, Peter loved the Lord, and he just couldn't imagine his love for Jesus not being sufficient. But the Lord knows what's in a man. And in fallen mankind, there is fear of death above all. Fear of death, as Hebrews puts it, is how the devil keeps us in bondage the way he does. So the Lord tells Peter what will happen even before it happens. But not once, not twice, but three times, Peter will be given the opportunity to confess his Lord. And not once, not twice, but three times, Peter will instead choose to deny him. In my mind, the scene sort of plays out like this, right? No sooner had Peter uttered the third denial when he looked up across that charcoal fire and he looked right into the loving eyes of Jesus. The scriptures testify that it was at that very moment that the rooster crowed for the final time. And that was when Peter remembered the words of Jesus' prediction concerning his denials. The smell and the smoke of the charcoal fire hung heavy in the air that night. And Peter, he looked right into the loving eyes of Jesus, his Savior and his friend. And he ran. He saved himself, but the smoke of the fire still lingered. From that day on, every time he smelled a charcoal fire, he would remember what it is that he had done. But how about you guys? Have you ever denied that you knew him? Or tried to hide that fact by maybe not praying as loud or taking the opportunities to share that he's given to you? Maybe you've gotten a moment with insecurity and fear and pride and worry all swirling around. Have you ever denied that you knew him and heard the rooster crow? Boy, it wasn't pretty. It was ugly and hate-filled. It showed the worst side of humanity's fall. In almost every way, it was a brutal, brutal day. 39 lashes with the whip, mocked and ridiculed by the Roman soldiers and the religious elite, and even the crowd. The same crowd that had not long before sung his praises. The same crowd that had not long before called him out for him to be king. Blows from the fists of the soldiers, a crown of thorns that was pushed down upon his brow. The crushing weight of a massive cross that he was forced to drag through the crowd, which only jeered and taunted him every agonizing step of the way. And then there were the nails. The Son of God who knew no sin, the gentle shepherd who invited children to come and sit on his lap, the great physician who healed and comforted others, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord, our Savior, was stretched out upon a cross and hung out to die between two thieves. And there in the most brutal position imaginable, filled with agony and pain, throat dry and parched and lips cracked, the Son of God looked to heaven, and with outstretched arms, he whispered, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They hang him out to die. But with a heart as big as the universe and outstretched arms that seemed to encircle all of time and humanity, he shouted out, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Then he died. For me and for you.